This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
An important thing in my life is books and reading, and lots of bookshops around the city, some of them flourishing, some of them not so much. Joel Dean is a past political speechwriter and still writes lots of things. Any standout books for you this year, Joel?
Hi, Macca. How are you?
Good.
The books that I've been reading, I think The Hate Race by Maxine Beneviter Clark, which is a memoir about growing up, you know, from an African sort of background in Australia and in the 80s and 90s, and it's a really powerful book. Probably of the novels I've read, A Whole Life by an Austrian novelist called Robert Seethaler is just a wonderful read, really a beautiful book about a man who sort of, you know, lives in the mountains in Austria in the 1930s and 40s. Sounds a bit, you know, boring, but it's not. It's a great book. And Ian McEwan's Nutshell, I always find McEwan.
Yes.
It's not one of his best novels, but always a really interesting guy to read. And I've been reading through Alana Ferrante's entire sort of set of works, all of the, you know, that Italian novelist, and she is the real deal. I'd recommend, if you're looking for a great book to read over summer, pick up anything she's read. It's really, really wonderful. And an Australian sort of noir sort of book to read on the beach, Jock Sorong's Rules of Backyard Cricket. That's a quick dirty read. I enjoyed that. You know, I read that in about 2 days, so that was all. Actually, even less. I think it was. Better than watching the TV or the cricket. So that was good. There's a lot of great books around, but and obviously. Yeah, I'm not sure what you guys are reading, but yeah, I'm sort of going Alana Ferrante and Seethaler's book would be my picks of the summer thus far.
Okay, I just I have a slightly very different taste. I've just almost finished. I'm trying to think of the author, but it's titled The Hateful Years, and it's about America 1939 to 41, the isolationists versus the interventionists.
Oh, wow.
So Charles Lindbergh on one side of the argument, Franklin Roosevelt on the other side, but all the other people involved, hugely interesting to me. And, of course, all that was forgotten post-December 7, 1941. But those 2 years at the start of the Second World War till America entered the Second World War, and America was as divided about that issue probably as they are now about Trump. Pretty interesting stuff.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there's a real echo to what we're looking at now. We seem to be heading into another period of appeasement. There's a whole bunch of people who seem to be happy to just genuflect and let things go through to the keeper with people who are racist, bigoted, whatever you want to call it, and who seem to be more aligned with fascist than democratic ideals at the moment. And it'll be really interesting to see what happens in Australia as Trump assumes power, how many people in Australia start to sort of say, oh, you know, it's okay because it's America. You know,
yeah.
If things go the way that we expect they're going to go. And I think it's really important to read those histories that, it's really dangerous when you start getting beyond lived history, when the people who lived through those terrible times start to die, and then we tend to
we forget about
go back and we do, yeah.
Look, I've nearly finished The Hateful Years. I'm happy to lend it to you.
I'd love to.
Because, you know, that saying that, excuse me, the scene doesn't change, only the actors. Mm. And there are so That's many right. parallels with America as I see it now, but also the world in what's going on as to what was going on at the, you know, the run-up and the start of the Second World War. But on a more positive note, I think the art of writing is enjoying a bit of a resurgence, albeit there are a lot of one-handed typists out there. But I do think the art of good writing and good journalism is still alive. And whether that writing is for, you know, a business purpose, for a promotional purpose, you know, a news purpose, I still draw great strength from the fact that good writing still exists. Mm. And, you know, it can survive against all the dross that is out there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No, definitely. I mean, I'm a avid reader of The New Yorker and The Economist. Mm. I don't always agree with The Economist, but it's beautifully written. And, you know, they've been really raising some concerns about Trump. And I think some of the best writing about the past election. Subscribe to the New York Times. You know, there's been some wonderfully insightful pieces out of the Atlantic, out of the New York and the New York Times. So I think it's a great period for print journalism at the moment. Print journalism was really coming back from the dead. Mm. It's interesting to note that the Washington Post just recently has decided to hire several dozen journalists. Which really is going against the tide. So that's good news for lovers of the written word and of good journalism.
And it's actually quite interesting. The Toronto Star, I believe, or one of the Toronto papers, actually has increased its readership and increased its circulation because it's now committed to writing really long-form stories. As a digital journo myself, you're sort of taught not to write anything beyond 1,000 words when it's a hard news story. But they actually, their aim is to get people onto their website and keep them there. And they're one of the few websites, news websites, that can actually retain people on their site for a long time, which is what a lot of news organisations aim to do, but they do it in a more sort of flashy way by having lots of clickbaity stories. But this website, what they've done is they've committed to really good writing and they keep people on there because of the great content.
Mm.
That's great. I mean, in San Francisco, I worked at a digital journal for about 5 years in the 1990s, and we're in one office and I was the features editor. And our features were about 350 to 400 words long. That was what we did. In those days, that was what was declared a feature. Although we're in this little sort of weird sort of building at the arse end of San Francisco, and Slate was starting up just across the way from us. And they were doing long-form journalism, and they were really one of the pioneers of that. And they're still around. They're sort of not quite as good as they used to be, but I think they deserve some credit for flying the flag.
Mm. I mean, I have one New Year's resolution. I'm not going to ever look at the Daily Mail website in 2017. They're not going to get one click from me, even if the story's about me.
Yeah, I'd click. But they are shockers. I mean, the other thing, and also Facebook feed.
Oh.
You know, can we? You know, that's a very pernicious and very dangerous sort of way to get news. And I find that I need to. I'm trying to spend less time on Facebook because it just sends me into weird sort of
despair,
pseudo journalism. Yeah, it's not. It's really unhealthy. I think there is some great writing and great journalism out there. And and increasingly it is long form. You know, it is, and that's where places such as the Monthly, Saturday Paper, you know, I think Quarterly, the Quarterly essays, and Australian Book Review is also a place that actually is paying people properly now to write longer essays and longer pieces, and that's really good. But this is a time where we can expect that the Age. And probably the Sydney Morning Herald too, in the next 12 to 18 months is going to stop printing its Monday to Friday edition. Mm. So this is a dangerous time for Australian journalism. a really dangerous time.
It is. It is. Look, it's been great to have your insight during the year, Joel. Sorry, we are running out of time. We'd like to extend the invitation to you to come in and co-host one Saturday.
That would be my pleasure.
Next year, you'd be most welcome. Ian, our illustrious producer, is nodding furiously. It has been great to have your insights, and let's keep our fingers crossed that quality journalism does remain. And you know, we've all actually got to pay for that content,
yes,
if we want it,
please,
to survive. That's the key. It's not a lot of money.
Amen.
It's not a lot of money, people. You just need to pay for it, and then it will survive. If you just want to read the Daily Mail, go ahead, because it's free a reason. Because it's shit.
Yeah, if you're willing to pay $5 for a latte, you should be willing to pay for a good piece of journalism.
Yes.
Exactly. People pay more than that for a bad latte. Thanks.
True.
Thanks
true.
Again, Joel. Have a good, safe night tonight, and we'll talk to you again, and also see you in the studio in 2017.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.